Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Protests continue stronger than ever across the country, and we've also got some more traditional politics to go over. Let's get at it. Hundreds to thousands marched in cities in every single state in the U.S. Tuesday. Moreover, protests spread to Denmark, Netherlands, Ireland, Spain, France, Australia, Italy, Syria, and England, at the least. There were still conflicts. Police in Philadelphia gassed a crowd of protesters who were backed up against a wall with nowhere to go. A house in D.C. was used as a through pass for protesters that were getting cornered by police, which resulted in police attempting to invade the house. A police officer in Seattle was captured on film, ordering his fellows to, quote, "Don't kill them, but hit them hard," end quote. This exemplifies the problem that we're running into. Our law enforcement has no idea how to de-escalate. Too many of them think their job is to punish crime instead of prevent it. Frankly, they don't know what their job is. They're supposed to be keeping the peace, which means avoiding the need for conflict. Instead, they act like soldiers on a battlefield, looking for enemies to dominate. It's worth having a look at Peel's policing principles, which should be the gold standard for the police code. I particularly like these imperatives, quote, "to prevent crime and disorder as an alternative to their repression by military force and severity of legal punishment. To always recognize that the power of the police to fulfill their functions and duties is dependent on public approval of their existence, actions, and behaviors, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect. To recognize always that the test of police efficacy is the absence of crime and disorder, and not the visible evidence of police action in dealing with them." End quote. Notice how it's focused on prevention and keeping the public's trust. As some veterans have pointed out, another big influence on police brutality is that veterans get funneled into law enforcement with no real retraining to transition from a war mentality to domestic peacekeeping mentality. Between deep-seated deadly reactions and habits and PTSD, this makes police much more likely to use excessive force than they should be. But overall, protests turn more peaceful. Matt filmed everything that happened in D.C. today, and it was a great deal more peaceful than the weekend. Not coincidentally, the police also took a hands-off approach, keeping their distance, but it was mostly to do with the crowd themselves being committed to a peaceful protest. Every time someone started getting violent, multiple other people called them out and put a stop to it with peer pressure. There were at least 2,000 protesters marching around the city throughout the day, and they stuck together and stayed about 6 hours past curfew before slowly petering out to get sleep so they could do it all again tomorrow. There was no sign of Trump's crackdown or mass arrests. The only confrontation with police was when a few protesters tried to take down the newly built fence at Lafayette Park, and the park police moved up to stop them with tear gas and pepper spray. The biggest takeaway from the day was the announcement that there is a push to gather 1 million protesters in D.C. this Saturday at noon to surround the White House in a show of solidarity that cannot be ignored. Basically, I think the idea is to put Trump back in his bunker and show the world that the movement is growing, not shrinking. But it's also clear that the protesters themselves are cracking down on the rioting and looting, and doing so quite successfully today, far more successfully than the police ever did. There are a number of petitions floating around regarding Floyd's murder. There is a petition to charge all the officers involved with murder and to pass a law to ban the use of restraint methods that restrict breathing. Another petition demands a couple of anti-brutality policies. A third is specifically for the murder charges, and a fourth is for defunding the police. Defunding, near as I understand, means reducing funding to the police and spending instead on community issues. Links to all of those are in the description. Some of our African American Yang Gang have formed what they're calling the Melanated Council of Yang, comprised of Erica Simone, Ronald Marzette, Jay De La Rosa, Joe Lang, Toby Ezequina, Ashley, and Jermaine Johnson. They spent over an hour discussing how to accomplish real change for the Black community, touching along the lines of what I've been arguing for on the podcast. To my relief, Erica pointed out that the protests need specific policy demands, and Joe pointed out that economic and racial justice are intertwined. So they're giving me some hope that we can turn the protests into something effective. What also gives me some hope is an article on how Guatemala achieved their goals of getting corrupt politicians to resign, which they did by organizing peaceful, nonpartisan protests with the specific demand of the resignation of certain individuals. You can find the article below, but that is the gist of it. Massachusetts has a petition to get ranked choice voting on the ballot, and they need more signatures to get it to the voters. I still don't understand why we're not backing star voting, which is more effective and doesn't require replacing voting machines, but RCV is certainly a major improvement from what we've got now. So, if you live in Massachusetts, please follow the link below and click the sign button. Voting reform is absolutely vital to reforming everything else in our country. I did manage to find footage of the Kentucky debate, available below. It was quite a debate as well, I might add, with an incredibly diligent moderator who kept the candidates honest and concise. I'd love to see her run for the presidential debates. Josh Mers conducted a post-debate Twitter poll, and Breuer racked up his second blowout win, this time with 64% approval, with Booker at 32%, and McGrath, again completely anemic, at 5%. I think it's fair to say that we have a clear winner with the people, and I wish McGrath and Booker would back Mike. I think it's the right thing to do, because it's clear that McGrath has no chance of winning the real thing, and Booker could just split the vote, causing her to be the nominee. Income Movement has officially endorsed congressional candidates Blair Walsingham and Robbie Goldstein. Check them out if you haven't already. Ella Jones won the race for mayor in Ferguson, Missouri, making her the first woman and first African-American to be mayor. There's an old anti-fascism video that the U.S. government made in the 60s circulating right now, which I had not seen before, and it is powerful. It basically lays out how Hitler manipulated the people to support him by dividing them and turning them against each other, as well as separating people from facts and truth by separating them from the news and education. Undermining trust in these, in religious, and in government institutions was key to his power grab. I loved the moral of the video, that we must protect the rights of all our people in order to protect ourselves. United we stand, and all that. Fits perfectly with the fight for African American rights that we're going through right now. Basically, if we allow any group of us to be oppressed, that is the first step toward fascism. Now, this podcast isn't about partisan politics. At least I hope that's come across. People are welcome in the Yang Gang, whether they came from the left or the right or anywhere else. We are about nonpartisan solutions. And while it may be hard for some to hear, I believe that what I'm about to say is nonpartisan. This video will show you why we need to get rid of Donald Trump. It's not because he's a Republican or a conservative. He's not really either of those. It's not because I dislike him as a person. It's because he's using the same playbook from the video to dismantle our democracy. He's systematically tearing apart everything that the Founding Fathers put in place to protect the people against fascism because he wants more power, and he hasn't even been shy about saying so. He's said that he wants more than two terms and that the president's authority is total. I know, tell it to Twitter, right? He's been turning people against immigrants, eroding trust, and even fueling disgust with media, higher education, and government, hitting all the check marks from the video. He's stacked all cabinet positions and even the courts with unqualified yes men. He's now talking about establishing a military occupation of the country. Whatever political background you come from, however you voted in the past, please recognize that this is what fascism looks like. This is exactly how democracies have historically fallen, and that's not opinion, it's well-documented fact. So please understand that when I say Trump has to go, it isn't party politics. I'd gladly put a real Republican like Romney in his place. It's because I'm American and I want us to have a free country for Andrew Yang to lead in 2024. And I want a Supreme Court that isn't stacked 7-2, overturning any attempts at progressive policy reform for the next 50 years. Basically, what I'm saying is that our dreams of an effective Yang presidency are dead if we get another 4 years of Trump. And that's the best case scenario. I know that it's a tough pill to swallow for any Trump sympathizers in the gang, but please just watch the video. Tell me that the parallels aren't there. Finally, Yang will be speaking with Reverend Wendy today about how to move forward. He also spoke with Politico for 10 minutes on the crisis, economic recovery, its effect on inequality, automation, and UBI. It's good stuff, but nothing new to us regulars. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Until tomorrow, bookmark Peel's policing policies, sign the petitions, watch Breuer's debate, watch the anti-fascism video, help spread the word on coordinating with protesters to give the movement clear policy goals. If you're going out to protest yourself, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat, as that's where rubber bullets can do serious permanent harm. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.